Last week, we finished the 10 unwholesome karma. First, there are threefold unwholesome karma, bodily action, verbal action, and mental action. And then there are 10 unwholesome karmas, killing, stealing, and so on. Three of bodily action, four of verbal action, and three of mental action. So today we come to section 23, by way of roots and consciousness. Of these 10 unwholesome karmas, killing, harsh speech, and ill will, or vyapada, spring from the root of hatred. That means when a person kills or speaks harshly or he's angry, and that akusala is accompanied by the root of hatred, accompanied by dosa. Killing, harsh speech, and ill will can be caused by dosa. And sexual misconduct, covetousness, and wrong view from the root of greed. So, through loba, people commit sexual misconduct, people have covetousness, and also wrong view. So whatever, whenever we have wrong view, we have some kind of attachment to that. So wrong view is always accompanied by loba or greed. The remaining four arise from two roots. So they can arise from both, or from dosa or loba. Now, the first one, killing. Killing can be caused by dosa. Sometimes greed may be the underlying motivation for killing. And hatred may be the underlying motivation for sexual misconduct. Or sometimes people may steal as a revenge, or people may commit sexual misconduct as a revenge. But Abhidhamma holds that the volition that drives the act of cutting off the life faculty of another being is always rooted in hatred. So killing, and killing is defined as cutting off the life faculty. So the act of cutting off the life faculty is always accompanied by dosa, or aversion towards the continued existence of the being. While the volition that drives the act of sexual transgression is always rooted in greed, that is, desire to enjoy sexual pleasure with the illicit partner. The volition driving the other four acts, stealing, lying, slandering, and frivolous talk, may be accompanied by either greed or hatred. But all unwholesome, all akusala causes of action are accompanied by delusion or moha. There is always moha. So moha and loba, or moha and dosa. And then the manual said, according to the classes of consciousness, this unwholesome karma is altogether 12-fold. Now, we understand karma to be chetana, volition. But here, and the author is saying that according to the classes of consciousness, this akusala karma is altogether 12-fold. That means 12 akusala types of consciousness. Here, citta itself as a composite whole rather than the individual factor of volition or cetana is considered to be the karma. So sometimes akusala cittas are called karma. This is just a usage. So when we say akusala citta is karma, we mean akusala citta along with its concomitants, including cetana. But to be exact, as you know, cetana, only cetana is karma. But sometimes cetana as well as other other mental factors, and here even the consciousness, citta, is called or said to be karma. So akusala karma, according to the classes of consciousness, is 12-fold. That means 12 akusala cittas. Next, we come to wholesome karma of sense sphere, karma vajra kusala. There is only one akusala, so we do not say karma vajra akusala, because akusala is always karma vajra, and there is no rupa vajra akusala or avarupa vajra akusala. But with regard to kusala, there are kama vajra kusala, rupa vajra kusala, and arupa vajra kusala, and lokudra kusala. So here, kama vajra kusala. Kama vajra kusala is also threefold first. That is, bodily action, verbal action, and mental action. The author did not mention what these are. What are bodily actions, what are verbal actions, and what are mental actions. And the teachers understand it to mean the opposites of the 10 akusala karmas we just met. So, when the akusala karma are, say, killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, and so on, here, kusala karma is the abstention from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, and so on. The first three, abstention from killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct, is actually the virati, the abstinence. There are three abstinences, right? Samma vacha, I mean right speech, right action, and right livelihood. So abstention from killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct right action, and abstention from lying, slandering, and so on, samma vacha, right? Yeah. And then the last three are the opposites of covetousness, ill will, and wrong view. So they are non-covetousness, non-ill will, and right view. And these last three of mental action are actually aloba, adosa, and amoha. Non-covetousness is aloba, non-ill will is adosa, and non-delusion is are moha. So in this way, there are 10 wholesome karma of sense sphere. And these 10, wholesome karma of sense sphere are said to be of 3 kinds, and they are dana, sila, and bhavana. Giving, virtue or morality, and mental culture, bhavana. It is eightfold according to the classes of consciousness. According to consciousness, they are 8. That means 8 karma vachara kusala chetas. And these 3, dana, sila, and bhavana, are expanded into 10 kinds of kusala karma. Dana, sila, bhavana, giving, virtue, meditation, reverence, and so on. So these 10 are called 10 bases of wholesome karma. 10 bases of meritorious deeds. Now the first one is giving. You all know giving, dana. Giving, offering. And here, the chetana with which one practices giving, chetana with which one practices virtue and so on, is called dana, sila, and so on. And dana is not only the chetana at the moment of giving, but also that precedes and that follows the act of dana or act of giving. So before you practice dana, say you try to get something, you try to obtain something so that you can donate it or you can give it to other people. So the searching for the things to give is also called dana. And also after giving, whenever you remember, you recollect that dana, you have joy. So that volition is also called dana. So dana means not just volition at the moment of giving, but before that moment of giving and also after the moment of giving. The same with virtue or sila and so on. And giving here is explained in the commentary as the giving with respect, giving as a, what do you call, puja, as reverence, right? So if you throw away something that is not dana, but when you make it an act of dana, you make it seriously, you make it with respect, with adoration, like when you offer something to the Buddha and so on. And the second one is virtue, sila. For lay people, there are 5 precepts, 8 precepts, and 10 precepts. And for monks, there are 227 rules and so on. So, taking the precepts and keeping them is called sila. But what if a person does not take the precepts, but when he has an occasion to commit something to break some rule, he refrains from. So let's say when he has an occasion to kill, he refrains from killing. Is that sila or not? At the moment of refraining, it is sila, because it is right action, right? When he refrains from telling a lie, then it is a right speech. So even though a person has not taken the precepts, but if he abstains from the killing and so on, as the occasion arises, that also is called sila. And then the third one is bhavana, meditation. Mental culture, practice of, 40 kinds of meditation, practice of vipassana, up to the moment of Kotrabhu. So here bhavana does not cover the enlightenment. Enlightenment is enlightenment. So the mental culture that leads to enlightenment, or maybe that leads to and that includes attainment of jhanas and abhinyas, is called bhavana, meditation. The next one is reverence. Being respectful to others, to elders, to monks. And here, being respectful means, say, when a monk comes, you stand up from your seat, you greet him, you give him a place to sit on, or you may take what belongings he is carrying. And such things are called reverence. So to your elders, to your parents, to your teachers also. And the fifth is service. And service is doing something for them. And also service is explained as attending to the sick. So bhikkhu, monks attending to other sick monks, that's also service. And there are many kinds of services in lay life also, community service, and service for the welfare of the religious community, service for the welfare of the monastery, and service for the welfare of yogis. All these are called service. So when you do something at the retreat, you offer yourself, to prepare food, to do the dishes, to clean the house, something like that, then that is service. And then number six is transference of merit. Now you all know this. It is actually not transference, but sharing of merit. The Pali word is patidana. That means giving what one has obtained. First, say you do some kind of kusala, let's say giving. First, you do giving. So by giving, by the practice of giving, you get merit. And that is called patti in Pali. And then you want to share this merit, or you want to make this merit common to other persons. So you share merit with them, with other persons. So that sharing of merit is called here transference of merit. So this is not so good. The translation, transfer, because transfer means changing place. But here, as you all know, merit does not change from one person to another, but it is like lighting a candle from the lighted candle of another person. So, transference of merit means just giving other people chance to get merit themselves by having them rejoice at your merit. So when you practice sharing of merit, you say, may you share my merits, or may all beings share merit, and so on. And then rejoicing in others' merit, and that is saying sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now, it is customary in Buddhist countries to say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu when merit is shared. When a person rejoices in the other person's merit, he gets merit, he gets kusala. Now, there is a problem here. Can we say sadhu even though other person does not share merit with us? We see somebody, say, doing a charity, right? Can we say sadhu, sadhu? Can we rejoice at his merit and get merit ourselves? Yes, right? Yeah. But if the merit is specifically for those who have departed, those who have died, then the person who does the merit needs to share. Otherwise, the persons who have died cannot get the immediate benefits of that merit. Now, when we share merits with those who have departed and they rejoice at our merit, they get merit themselves and they get the results immediately. Now, when we as human beings rejoice at merit of other people, we don't get immediate results. We just get kusala. So, if merit is done specifically for those who have departed, then you need to share merits with them. And they also need to rejoice at your merit. Now, there are three conditions to be fulfilled for such merit to be immediately effective. That is, the person who does the merit must share that merit with the other persons, and the other persons who have departed must rejoice at that merit, and there must be a worthy person to accept the offerings, like a Buddha or Arahant or a monk. When these three conditions are fulfilled, then the departed ones get results immediately. So rejoicing in others' merit is the rejoicing when merit is shared, and also rejoicing even though it is not shared. So when we see someone doing some good thing and we think it is a kusala, then we can just rejoice at his merit. Or we can just say to ourselves, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And that way we get merit ourselves. The next one is hearing the Dhamma, listening to the Dhamma talks. And here, hearing the Dhamma or listening to Dhamma talks must be with pure heart. Not to show ourselves off, or not to get a good reputation, but with sincerity and seriousness, say we should hear the Dhamma, or listen to the Dhamma. And listening to or learning the innocent knowledge, innocent arts, may also be included in hearing the Dhamma. And teaching the Dhamma also, a person who teaches the Dhamma must teach without any expectations, without any expectation of personal gains or whatever, with the intention of making the Dhamma known to other people so that they can get benefits from that Dhamma. And here also teaching other innocent kinds of knowledge is also called teaching the Dhamma. The last one is straightening out one's views. That means having a right view. Now, right view means there is karma and there is the result of karma and so on. So that is called straightening out one's views. So altogether, there are 10 wholesome karma of sense sphere. Now, first there are 3, dana, sila, and bhavana. And now we have 10, dana, sila, bhavana, and so on. Now, the reverence and service can be included in what? Giving all virtue or meditation. Now, they can be included in virtue, because reverence and service are a kind of practice. So they can be included in virtue. Transference of merit and rejoicing in others' merit can be included in giving. Now, transference of merit is giving. Rejoicing in others' merit is not giving. But giving gets rid of covetousness. Isa and Macharya. And transference of merit and rejoicing in other person's merit also get rid of Isa and Macharya. So they can be included in giving. Hearing the Dhamma and teaching the Dhamma, and also straightening one's view, can be included in the last one, bhavana, meditation. So when you listen to the Dhamma, you are doing bhavana. When you are teaching the Dhamma, talking about Dhamma, you are doing bhavana. So 10 becomes 3, 10 can become 3, and 3 can be expanded into 10 wholesome karma. Now, straightening one's view is said to be common to all the others, because if you do not have right view, if you do not have a straight view, you will not do giving, you will not practice sila, and so on. So straightening one's view is like a rudder in a ship. So it is very important. So it can belong to both giving, virtue, and meditation, and others. Now, we are talking about karma, vajra karma. There are 12 akusala karma. That means, according to consciousness, and 8 karma vajra kusala karma, according to consciousness. So altogether, there are 20 kinds of kusala and akusala. So all these 20 kinds, unwholesome and wholesome, are known as karma pertaining to the sense sphere. So So there are 20 kinds of karma vajra karmas, 12 akusala karma, and 8 kusala karma. Next, we come to rupa vajra kusala karma. Rupa vajra and arupa vajra are easy. In rupa vajra kusala karma, there is only one, that is manokama. Rupa vajra kusala is what? 5 jhanas, right? So these jhanas are not kaya kama, not action of the body, not verbal action, but mental action. So they are always manokama, the only manokama. And they are to be achieved through meditation, not like kama vajra kusala. So without meditation, you can acquire kama vajra kusala. But without meditation, you cannot acquire rupa vajra kusala. And it is always one that reaches absorption. Only when there is absorption can there be rupa vajra kusala. And rupa vajra kusala is divided into 5 according to the jhana factors. When there are 5 jhana factors, there is what? First jhana. 4 jhana factors, second jhana. 3 jhana factors, third jhana. 2 jhana factors, fourth jhana. 2 jhana factors, fifth jhana. So according to the distinction of jhana factors, there are 5 rupa vajra kusala kama. And arupa vajra kusala, there are 4. And they are also manokama only, mental only. They are not bodily actions, and they are not verbal actions. And like rupa vajra kusala, they are to be achieved through bhavana, mental culture, meditation. And they are those that reached absorption. And they are fulfilled by the distinction of object. You know the objects of the 4 arupa vajra chetas, right? What is the object of the first one? Infinite space. Yeah? And the second? First. Arupa vajra cheta. And object of the third? Absence of the first. And object of the fourth? The third arupa vajra cheta. So, here, distinction is by object, not by jhana factors. Because all these 4 have the same number of jhana factors. What are the jhana factors there? Ubhikha and ekagata, right. So now we come to the end of enumeration of kamas. Kama vajra kama, rupa vajra kama, arupa vajra kama. 20 kama vajra kama, 5 rupa vajra kama, and 4 arupa vajra kama. Now we will study the results of these kamas. Which kama gives which result? If you can look at the chart on page 212. Now first, the result of karma are of 2 kinds. One at relinking, at rebirth, and the other during life. So there will always be these two kinds of results. Results at rebirth and results at, during life. That means after rebirth until death. Now, in the chart you will see sensory volitions, they are karma, right? And then, and then results. Now, at rebirth, during life, and then realms of existence. So, in which realm that they give results. And then, the types of consciousness, which are the results of respective karmas. Okay, now, 11 unwholesome. There are 12 unwholesome karmas, or 12 unwholesome chetas. From them, restlessness is accepted. So, 11 unwholesome karma. Give results in four woeful states at rebirth. And when it give results in the four woeful states, the result is in the form of unwholesome result, investigation. What is that? Equanimity. That is akusala vipaka santirana accompanied by upeka. Can you point it out? Yeah. So that is one. So that akusala vipaka santirana accompanied by upeka is the result of 11 unwholesome chetas or 11 unwholesome karmas at rebirth in four woeful states. Now, restlessness or udhaja, karma accompanied by udhaja, cannot give results at rebirth because it is too weak. It is not accompanied by strong chetasikas. Since it is not accompanied by strong chetasikas, it has no power to give results at rebirth. Another explanation is that it does not give result at rebirth because it is not eradicated by Sotapattimagga. Sotapattimagga eradicates what? Wrong view and doubt, right? And Isotapanna is not reborn in four woeful states. But here, Isotapanna cannot eradicate udhaja, restlessness. So he still has udhaja, and he will not be reborn in four woeful states. So udhaja, restlessness, cannot give results in four woeful states at rebirth. But during lifetime, it will give. So the next line, 12 unwholesome karmas give results during life in all 11 karma vachara realms. And 15 rupa vachara realms. In karma vachara realm, the the vipaka is in the form of chetas. And what are the chetas there? Seven results of unwholesome. All seven. Yes. But in Rupa Vachara realm, three will be missing. Because the Brahmas have no sensitivity, tongue sensitivity, and body sensitivity. So, less those three, only the other four. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, and then Sampadichana and Santirana, only four. Now, when a person, a human being, sees something undesirable, then he will have chakhu vijnana, akusala vipaka, right? So that akusala vipaka, that chakhu vijnana, or that seeing, is the result of his past karma, akusala karma. Even Brahmas can have seeing consciousness, which is the result of akusala. When they come down to the human world, they may see ugly things. Or even if they don't come down to the human world, if they look from the Brahma world to the human world, they will see undesirable objects. And so the akusala can give results even to Brahmas. So, first, the 11 unwholesome karmas give results in four woeful states at rebirth, and only one type of consciousness. You know why there is only one type of consciousness? Because that is a consciousness that is the function of patisanti, bhavanga, and jyoti. But during life, they don't have to be functioning as patisanti, bhavanga, and jyoti. So during life, all 12 unwholesome chetas, unwholesome karma, give all seven types of consciousness as result in karma vachara realm, and four types of consciousness as result in the rupa vachara realm. Now, next one. Four three-root superior wholesome. Now, if you look at the eight kama vajra kusalas, the first two are accompanied by how many roots? Three roots. And then number three and four? Two roots. Number five and six? Three roots. Seven and eight? Two roots. So there are four three-root consciousnesses, right? One, two, five, six. Each of these three-root consciousnesses or karmas are divided into superior and inferior. So there are two grades of three-root kusala. Three-root kusala, which is superior, and three-root kusala, which is inferior. The same with two-root. Two-root kusala, which is superior, and two-root kusala, which is inferior. Okay. What is superior and what is inferior? First, three-root and two-roots. Now, when you do some meritorious deed, if you do it without knowledge, without understanding, without the understanding of karma and its results, then it is said to be of two roots. So even sometimes we may do two root kusalas. If we do kusala carelessly, our kusala may not be accompanied by three roots. Sometimes we practice dana. We just give it, and we don't think much of it. So when we give it and don't think much of it, then our kusala may not be accompanied by three roots. So in order for our kusala to be accompanied by three roots, we need to invoke this understanding of the karma and its results. So, if a kusala karma, karma vajra kusala karma, is accompanied by the understanding of, say, the law of cause and effect, understanding of karma and its results, it is called three roots. If it is not accompanied by such knowledge, understanding, it is called two roots. Superior and inferior. If a kusala karma is preceded by and followed by kusala thoughts, it is called superior. And if it is remembered again and again, causing joy to that person, it is called superior. Sometimes people do meritorious deeds, but preceding that deed, they may have akusala. And after doing the meritorious deed also, they may have some kind of regret. Oh, if I did not give them away, I would have made use of them myself or for my family or something like that. So there can be some regrets. So if there are regrets, then it is called inferior. So superior, being superior and inferior depends on whether a certain kusala karma is preceded by and followed by kusala. There is a saying that three kinds of volitions or chetana are involved in dana and also in other meritorious deeds. So when you are going to do a dana, have kusala chetas preceding that formal act of giving, and then after giving also you have joy about that dana and not regret. If you regret after giving, what will happen? You will get the results of dana in future lives, but you will not want to make use of them. You will be a very stingy person. Although you may be a millionaire, you don't want to use things which are expensive, things that are good. You even though you are a rich man, you want to make use of inexpensive things and so on. So it is important that when we practice kusala, when we do kusala, we should see to it that it is accompanied by three roots, and also it is superior. Only superior gives superior results, right? So if it is inferior, it will give inferior results. So if you want the best results, then we must make the kusala accompanied by three roots and also superior. So three root superior wholesome can give results in as blissful means kama vajra sugiti. How many? How many realms are there? Seven. Six Devalokas and one human, Manosa. So, three roots, superior wholesome karma. There are four. Three roots, superior wholesome karma can give results in the karma sukati, seven realms of karma sukati at rebirth. The results are in the form of chetas. And what chetas? Those that are accompanied by jnana, right? Yeah. Only four. Okay. Now, during life, they give results in all Kama Vajra realms in the form of eight Vipaka Chetas, eight Kusala Vipaka from Ahitukas, and eight Kama Vajra Vipakas. So, altogether 16. In the Rupa Vajra realm, three less, right? Yeah. From among Kusala Vibhaga, three must be left out. So there are only five. Kamajura Vibhagas are the same, eight. So 13. Okay. Next one. Three root inferior and two root superior. They give the same results. Three root inferior and two root superior. Okay, they give this. When they give three root, even though it is three root, because it is inferior, it cannot give three root results. Now, that's very important. If you want to get three root results, We must make our kusala three root. So, if it is three root inferior, that means it is not preceded by and followed by kusala. It will not give three root results. It will give only two root results. So, at the moment of rebirth in the Kama Sukati, seven realms of Kama Sukati, four, right? Those that are not accompanied by knowledge. Yeah. But during life, how many? 12. Eight from Ahitukas and four from Kama Vajra Vipakas. Four Kama Vajra Vipakas not accompanied by knowledge. And in the Rupa Vajra realm, five from Ahitukas and four from Kama Vajra Vipaka. And two root superior. Now, two root superior means when a person performs or does this karma, only two roots are there. He does it maybe carelessly. But his true root kusala is preceded by and accompanied by kusala. Or he remembers it again and again with kusala. So in that case, it is two root superior karma. Churu Tribhirya Kama gives two root results, not three root results. And then the last, two root inferior. There are four, right? So inferior means not preceded by and followed by kusala. It is the lowest form of kusala. Since it is two root inferior, it cannot give even two root results. It can give only no rootless results. So at rebirth for human beings and some kind of gods, some kind of Jadu Maharajika, some kind of or you may go back to section 11. Those earthbound deities and so on. So for them, the result is in the form of kusala vipaka, right? Upika santirana. But during lifetime, in all kama vachara, the results are in the form of eight kama ahiduka vipakas, kusala vipakas. And for in the rupa vachara realm, five. Without nose, tongue, and body consciousnesses. So this is the kama and results of kama vachara. So in kama vachara there are kusala, akusala and kusala. And you divide akusala into two. The first, the 11 without restlessness. And the next, 12, all 12. And the first one is for rebirth result. And the second one is for during lifetime. And then we divide the kama vachara kusala into three root superior, three root inferior, two root superior, two root inferior. And only three root superior kusala can give three root results. Three root inferior and two root superior can give only two root results. And two root inferior cannot give even two root results, only rootless results. I think this much is clear. Later on we'll find the opinion of the sum on page 216, but we will not go there yet. We'll read the table. So on page 213, they are not difficult. Now, we come to Rupa Vachara and Arupa Vachara. First jhana, here also what? Inferior, medium, and suba. What does it say here? Limited degree, medium degree, and superior degree. Now, these jhanas can be developed in three ways. So inferior, medium, superior. Inferior means, or limited means, a person just got that jhana and he did not use it again. That kind of jhana is called limited development. Now, medium development is he enters into the jhana more often, but he is not fully adept at entering into jhana or getting out of jhana. That means he is not fully familiar with that jhana, although he has attained the jhana. And the superior means he is very adept at that, using that jhana. He can enter into jhana anytime he wants to. He can get out of jhana anytime he wants to, and he can stay in the jhana as long as he likes. And also, if he has many jhanas, he can enter into any jhana he likes, not in the order given in the book, but in any order. So, the first jhana developed limitedly can give results in the first Brahma, Brahma's retinue. And the result is in the form of first jhana resultant. If it is developed in a medium way, it is the result is the same citta, but the realm is different. So here, the second realm, Brahma's ministers, and if it is developed superior, then the result, the resultant consciousness is the same, but the realm is Mahabrahma, and so on. So, first jhana developed in three ways give result in three Brahma realms, the three first jhana Brahma realms. Although the realms are three, the resultant consciousness is the same, that is first jhana resultant. Now second jhana, again, developed limitedly or in a medium way and superior, then it gives results in minor luster, infinite luster, and radiant luster in the form of second jhana vibhaga, right? And then third jhana, developed inferior, medium, and superior, give results in minor luster, infinite luster, radiant luster, and the yeah, it's repeating. What do you say? Aura, right. Oh. Second jhana is luster, third jhana aura. Ah, yes. So minor aura, infinite aura, and radiant aura. Oh. Oh, yeah, it's correct.
Yeah,
it's correct. It's correct. Second jhana and third jhana, for second jhana. And fourth jhana give results in third jhana realms. But the resultant consciousness is fourth jhana resultant. There's a confusion here. Yeah? We are familiar with fivefold method of jhanas. But the realms are divided according to fourfold method. So the second jhana and third jhana of fivefold method give results in second jhana Brahma realms. Go give fifth jhana. Now, there is no variation in fifth jhana, just normal. So, fifth jhana give result in great reward, vihapala. And the resultant consciousness is fifth jhana resultant consciousness. Now, fifth jhana with this passion for perception. Now, that means these persons are say, misguided, or in the commentary it is said that they are tatiyas, that means they have wrong views or something like that. These people think that because we have mind, we suffer. If we do not have mind, we do not suffer. So, after getting fifth jhana, they practice the fifth jhana, they develop fifth jhana with dispassion for mind. Here perception means not just perception. Here perception stands for all mind. So, when they practice meditation, they say, mind is disgusting, mind is disgusting, and so on. So as a result of their concentration with their jhana, when they die, they are reborn in the realm of non-percipient beings. That means mindless beings. And as and the result, there is no result in consciousness. So at the moment of rebirth, there are only material properties. Life knowledge. So there is no consciousness here. And it is said in the commentary that they are reborn, they are like statues. So in the position, they die here. If they die here lying down, then they will be there, and they are in a lying down position. If they die sitting, then they will be there sitting. 500 kapas. And then fifth jhana of non-returner, anagami. Right? Yeah. Anagamis are reborn in pure abodes only, right? Yeah. So their resultant consciousness is fifth jhana resultant consciousness. And then base of infinite space, that is first Arupa Vajra jhana. So it gives result in infinite space realm. And the resultant consciousness is first Arupa Vajra jhana consciousness. And then the second one, the infinite consciousness. And the third one, nothingness. And the fourth one, neither perception nor non-perception. So they give results in their respective Arupa Vajra realms. And the types of consciousness are the four Arupa Vajra Vipaka consciousnesses. So in brief, jhana kusala, Rupa Vajra jhana kusala, give results in Rupa Vajra realm. And Arupa Vajra jhana kusala give results in Arupa Vajra realm. And there are five jhanas and four jhana planes. So second jhana and third jhana give results in second jhana plane. Okay, now we come to the view of some teachers with regard to Kama Vajra Kusala. We learned that Kama Vajra Kusala give results, right? How many types of consciousness are the result of Kama Vajra Kusala? 16, right? 8 from Ahituka and 8 from Kama Vajra Kusala. I mean Kama Vajra Sovana. So 16. There are some teachers who say that unprompted do not produce prompted results, and prompted do not produce unprompted results. So the reason they gave was that the image on the mirror must be exactly the same as the one the person. So the person and the image must be exact. In the same way, the result, I mean, the karma and its result must be identical. That means the unprompted can give only unprompted results, and prompted only prompted results. So this is their opinion. And this opinion was held by, you see, on page 215. Alternative view held by the teachers of the school of Mahadhammarakhita Thera and Abhidhamma Master in the ancient Morawapi monastery in Sri Lanka. Now, in the Attasalini, the name of the holder of this view was given as Mahadatta and not Mahadhammarakhita. So some teachers say that Vibhavinitika was wrong in giving the name as Mahadhammarakhita, because in the Attasalini, the name given was Mahadatta. Or if you want to reconcile these two, we may argue that Dhammarakhita is another name for Mahadatta. But this view was not accepted by many teachers, because the relinking consciousness being prompted and unprompted does not depend on the karma being prompted and unprompted. It depends on how the karma or karma nimitta or gati nimitta is presented to the mind of a dying person. If these three are presented spontaneously without the intervention of other persons, then the resultant, I mean, the relinking consciousness is asankara, I mean, unprompted. If these one of these three appear to the dying person with the help of, say, relatives and so on, then the relinking consciousness becomes prompted. So the being prompted or unprompted of the relinking consciousness does not depend on the karma being prompted and unprompted. So this view was made, this view was designated as Keichi Sam. So I have told you about this once, right? When the author says Sam, that means they don't like it, or they think it is not up to the standard. So according to those teachers, the results may be different, right? Unprompted can give only unprompted results, and prompted only prompted results. So there is a chart on page 216. Now, first superior, first inferior. Second superior, second inferior. Third superior, third inferior, and so on. And first superior and also first inferior are unprompted. So the first two are unprompted, the second two prompted, and then the other two unprompted, other two prompted, and so on. So the first one, first superior, that means three root superior. give results according to general view 1 to 8 of the Kamavajra Vipaka. Kamavajra Vipaka. Yes. Sobhana, yes. Vipaka. Right. Yeah. But according to some, since it is unprompted, right? So only it can give unprompted results. So 1, 3, 5, 7. Yeah. And then two roots. First, inferior, two roots. So it can give only two root results. That is 3, 4, 7, 8. But according to some, it is still unprompted. So according to some, 3 and 7. Then second, superior, three roots. Second jeta, second kusala jeta. Superior, three roots. So since it is superior and three roots, it gives all 8 kamavajra sovana vipaka. Here, 1 to 8 means both at rebirth and relinking. They are mixed together. But according to some, since it is prompted, only the prompted are the results. So 2, 4, 6, 8, right? Then second, inferior. Now, inferior means two roots. So when it is two roots, only two roots resultant. 3, 4, 7, 8. And according to some, since it is prompted, 4 and 8. Right. Then third jeta. Third jeta superior. It has only two roots. So, according to general view, only two root results. 3, 4, 7, 8. But according to some, it is unprompted. So 3, 7. Then third, inferior, rootless, rebirth resultant, rootless. So no kamavajra vipakas, only rootless vipakas. Then fourth jeta. What is fourth jeta? Two roots, right? So it gives two root results. 3, 4, 7, 8. And according to some, since it is prompted, 4 and 8. And fourth inferior, it gives only rootless results. So no kamavajra vipaka, sovana vipakas. And then fifth superior, three roots. So 1 to 8. Well, according to some, only only unprompted. 1, 3, 5, 7. And fifth inferior, two root results. 3, 4, 7, 8. And since it is unprompted, 3 and 7. And the sixth superior, six, three root. Right? So 1 to 8, And then, since it is satsang, I mean, prompted, 2, 4, 6, 8. And 6 inferior, 2 roots, 2 root results, 3, 4, 7, 8. And since it is prompted, 4, 8. 7 superior, 2 root results, 3, 4, 7, 8. And it is unprompted, 3, 7. And 7 inferior, rootless results. So no kama vichara sovana vipaka. 8 superior give 2 root results. So 3, 4, 7, 8. And since it is prompted, it is 4 and 8. And 8 inferior, because it is inferior, it gives rootless results. So no kamajara sovana vipaka. Rootless resultants are for all. So it is a little complicated. Yeah? So the main thing to bear in mind is, according to some, only unprompted results from unprompted kusala. Prompted results from prompted kusala. That's all. Now, one thing important to note is about anagamis. So please turn to page 218. The non-returners are born in the pure abodes. Now you all know that if a person becomes an anagami, he will not come back to this kamavachara realm. So he will be reborn in one of the five pure abodes. And it is said that their rebirth into these five realms is determined by their predominant spiritual faculty. Now there are five spiritual faculties, right? Saddha, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya. So if a person's Saddha is predominant, then he will be reborn in the first. If Viriya is predominant, he will be reborn in the second, and so on. And non-returners in whom faith is a dominant faculty are born into the Avya realm. Those in whom energy is dominant into Atapa realm, and so on. Now, although none but non-returners are reborn into the pure abodes, so only anagamis are born in pure abodes, there is no fixed law holding that all non-returners are reborn there. Only non-returners are reborn in pure abodes, right? But there is no fixed law holding that all non-returners are reborn there. So non-returners may be reborn in other Brahma realms also. Not only in pure abodes, but in other Brahma realms also. If a non-returner gets only first jhana, he will be reborn in the first jhana realm, right? Only when he gets the fifth jhana will he be reborn in the five pure abodes. So when we say non-returners are reborn in pure abodes, we mean only non-returners are reborn in pure abodes. But non-returners can be reborn in other Brahma realms, but not in Kama Vachara realm, because they have given up attachment or desire for Kama Vajra realm. So it may be that the pure abodes are open only to non-returners who possess the fifth jhana, while non-returners with a lower jhana attainment will be reborn elsewhere in the fine material plane. So they may be reborn in first, second, third, fourth jhana planes. However, all non-returners must be reborn in the fine material plane because they have eradicated sensual desire, the fetter which leads to rebirth in the sensuous plane. So, now there are three kinds of topmost realms, and they are called great reward, and then Akanita, and the highest Neva Sanya Na Sanya Yatana. I mean, neither perception nor non-perception. Those who are reborn in those will not be reborn in other realms. They will become arahants and they'll finish their samsara. And the noble one, the enlightened persons who are reborn in the Brahma realms will not be reborn in lower Brahma realms. So they may go higher and higher, but they will not go lower. Okay, now we come to the end of Kamma Cetoka. Now, Kamma Vachara Kusala gives both identical and non-identical results, right? Now, the identical results of Kamma Vachara Kusala are Kamma Vachara Vipaka, Sobhana Kamma Vachara Vipaka. Non-identical results of Kamma Vachara Kusala are the Ahiduka Vipakas. So, Kamma Vachara Kusalas give both identical and non-identical results. But Rupa Vachara and Arupa Vachara give only identical results. There are no non-identical results. So, the concluding verse, thus sublime merit determined according to planes produces similar results, that means identical results, both at rebirth linking and in the course of existence. So whether it is at rebirth or during lifetime, they give only similar results. But Kamavachara Kamas can give both identical and non-identical results. Okay.